Seems like national news is just blasting at us like water from a fire hose. Democratic primaries, a vindicated President Trump joining us right now, keeping track of all this and more, ABC News political director Rick Klein. Rick, good morning.
Hey, great to be with you.
Appreciate you joining us this morning. What would you say is the biggest political story of the week?
Well, I think the mess of the Democratic primary is the thing that's going to linger with us the longest, and all the implications that means. You know, the first two states sometimes give you clarity. They give you a firm sense of who's up, who's and who's down, who's the front runner, or who's the person to beat. This time, you know, really it's a five-person race at least, with possibility of a sixth and even a seventh coming in with Michael Bloomberg. And I think you have to look at this and think we're going to be watching this for a while.
I just get this sense that Michael Bloomberg has had this this surge this week, and he didn't even appear on the ballot. But it feels like he's having a little bit of a moment right now.
Well, Donald Trump is thinking about him. That helps. Mm-hmm. But I think even beyond that, his bet was that the Democrats would be in a bit of disarray, that Bernie Sanders would be ascendant, and that Joe Biden might be fading away. All three of those things could be happening. And if those are happening, it well positions the man who's already spent almost $400 million, already setting a record, even though he's not on the ballot for a few more weeks. And who can go a long slog of picking up convention delegates here or now? It really is Bloomberg is the most likely choice for that. So while other candidates could come or go, the amount of resources he could put into a campaign is just off the charts.
Surprised to hear the Attorney General suggest that President Trump's tweets about him are not helpful. He had some sharp criticism of the president, uncharacteristic for the current AG.
Yeah, I mean, some people are thinking maybe he's giving the president cover, but you're right. It's very strong to say stop the tweeting. His claim, whether you believe it or not, his claim is that he had decided to change the recommended sentence for Roger Stone. Then the tweet came out, and then he was put in the position of having to announce the decision after the tweet came out, that he wasn't influenced by the tweet, but clearly that's the perception, and that's what he found to be so damaging, and that's why he ultimately is saying to the president, cut it out, which, you know, not a lot of people say that.
Impeachment certainly doesn't seem to have hurt the president. He seems emboldened having survived impeachment, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, and I think this is what a lot of Democrats feared, and even some Republicans said was likely to happen. You know, he didn't need vindication or exoneration to feel emboldened before, but he's acted pretty quickly in the week and a half since being acquitted in the Senate to get rid of, frankly, some political enemies or perceived political enemies, including people who participated in the testimony around impeachment, and then to go even further, intervening in that way publicly in the Roger Stone case. And I think the guardrails that might have been on before were probably coming off a bit more. Hope Hicks is coming back to the White House. I think people that are perceived as loyal to the president are ascendant.
Who have you got coming up Sunday on this week?
We're going to be talking with Senator Klobuchar, who is kind of a big story out of New Hampshire earlier this week. The 2020 race rolls on. We're about a week out before the next round of contests. And breaking it all down, this idea of a contested convention is something I know my friend Nate Silver over at 538 is keen to talk about as well.
All right. We'll be watching. Rick, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.